And so today I want to speak to you about special kind of friends that you need in your life. I want to speak to you about finding friends with faith. Finding friends and becoming friends with people who have extraordinary faith. Let's pray. Lord, we open our hearts now and we thank you for your anointing on our lives and for your love for us. We thank you that you are our creator and you've not made us just to be lone rangers, but to be connected to others. You've made us relational. And Lord, you've made us to be in step with you. And so today we ask that you would teach us and train us and that you would speak to our hearts for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Please open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read the entire chapter. And this chapter is about the resurrection of Jesus and the disciples and a few other companies of people who are mentioned in this chapter. But I want you to focus not so much on the resurrection, but I want you to see Jesus and how he is interacting with people after the resurrection. And then I want you to see his disciples. So take a look at the friendships and how the Lord is using these friendships during this great event. So we read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So friends, just any friends, any good friends, even I'm not just talking about Christian friends, but any friends are people who you connect with, people who have a care for you and you care for them. There's a love that exists between friends, people who will listen to you, people who will help you when you need help. Friends are people who cover your back and watch out for your well-being. They will laugh with you, and they will cry with you when you grieve. They'll walk through life with you as a special connected person. And they will also speak the truth to you in love. Friendship is something that every human being needs. And I hope that you have many friends. In fact, the Bible says, woe to the person who does not have a friend in the day of trouble. You know, the Bible tells us that the rain falls on the good and the bad. It says, in this world, you will have tribulation. And you know, in everybody's life, there are moments of great difficulty, great challenges, maybe great failures. There are times of great problems that come. And it's especially at these kinds of times when you need somebody who is going to be your friend. If you only have acquaintance-level friends when you're standing in the day of trouble, then you will not have somebody to be with you. The Bible says two are better than one. Because if one falls into the ditch, the other one can pull them out. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. I want to encourage you to have friends. I discovered that this is a lot easier for women than it is for men. Women seem to have a natural inclination to be relational and to share and to laugh together and to have fun when most fellas don't. And yet it's much needed that men of God find friends. It might be of a different nature than the kind of friendships that women have. But nevertheless, there must be this kind of friendships that you are building. The Bible says many things about friends. It says the rich have many friends. And that's really true. But you don't really know if they're friends if they lose their money. The Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It says there's a friend loves at all times. I want you to go through your little checklist and answer the question in your heart, do you have a friend like this? The Bible says that a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. And that faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend is somebody who can tell you the truth and your relationship doesn't break apart. A friend is somebody who will tell you the thing that nobody else will tell you. And, you know, because sometimes we are a little too proud. And you've heard it said before that pride is like bad breath. Everybody else knows you got it, but you don't know yourself. But a friend is somebody who can come along and point it out to you. They could say, you know, I think you need to be a little more gentle or a little more humble with that person. And because it's a friend, you have this trust that has been built up. You know, you can't drive a 10-ton truck over a 2-ton bridge or the bridge will break. And the relationship has to be built. Some people think that all they need is the truth. But you need a vehicle for this truth to travel over. And it is the vehicle of relationships that is built because people are faithful and because people care and because they are real friends. The Bible says the man who wants to have friends must make themselves friendly. So it sounds like it's pretty obvious, doesn't it? But a lot of people say, you know, I don't have friends. But they're not friendly people. They don't go out of their way to talk with somebody, sometimes because they feel rejected or they have a lack of confidence in themselves. But they don't interact. And blessed are those people who are social, because they can talk with people and encourage people, and that way can build many friendships. Now, in this story that we have just read, there are four groups of friends. There's the Women of Faith gang. I really like them. They're the ones who come to the tomb. They're the ones who stood at the cross together. And then there is the guards, the soldiers, who no doubt were friends of each other. They were workmates. they didn't know the Lord. And then there were the chief priests. And they had a friendship coalition taking place, kind of a political religious group of friends. And then there is the 11 disciples, because one of them, Judas, has already gone out and committed suicide after he betrayed Jesus. So let's look at these four groups of friends. The first one is the group of women of faith. And it says in that first verse, after the Sabbath, the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. If we go over to the book of John, chapter 19 and verse 25, we read there about these same ladies. John 19 and verse 25. It says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So there's at least three Marys there. And these ladies are friends in good times and in bad times. I think these ladies had extraordinary level of faith. I love it when I see ladies of faith coming together. I know just this week the ladies gathered for your Women in Christ ministry evening. And there was also a planning meeting. So when Joy came home from it, she shared with me all the details about what the ladies are going to be doing in the months to come. And it was very exciting just to hear. I won't let the cat out of the bag. I'll let them do that. But it was very exciting to hear of the plans and how they're going to draw different ones from the congregation, ladies, to minister. And it looks very exciting. But you need to find somebody like one of these ladies if you're a lady. You need to find a lady who won't just give you a pity party when you're struggling. I'm sure you need somebody who can understand and be compassionate. But then you need somebody who says, yes, but God is bigger than that. You need somebody who can cut across the grain of your problem and tell you, but God will pull you through. Let's pray. I believe that God can heal. I believe that God can help your marriage. I believe that God will stand in the place to give favor over your life. He will provide a way for you. That's the kind of friend you need. When you're in a bad place, a difficult place, a beat up kind of place, and you're suffering, you don't just need somebody to feel sorry for you and to tell you that you should fight back in some way. And get you all out of whack and get you feeling more sorry for yourself than you were originally. You don't need that kind of friend in the day of trouble. You can have all kinds of friends, but you ought to find a person of faith. These ladies, it says, went down to the tomb after the Sabbath on the first day of the week. And they saw an angel. And the angel said to the women, don't be afraid, and gave them some very clear information about telling the disciples to go to Galilee. Now, they were in Jerusalem. It's about 60 miles away to Galilee. And he said, go tell your disciples that Jesus will meet them at a mountain in Galilee. So the women hurried off. Now, just imagine having an event like that. Here's a group of women who hang out together, who are spiritually focused, who know how to pray together, who know how to prophesy together. And all of a sudden, when they're going to visit the tomb of Jesus. Now, the men didn't go until they got a report that he was risen from the grave. But the ladies were there. And they went there. To honor the body of the Lord and to put spices on his body and such. But when they got there, an angel had already appeared. And he was there. He frightened the soldiers so that they felt like they were dead. But the ladies, it says they were afraid too, but they were blessed. And they were having a glory experience with an angel of God coming to speak to them. Some of the ladies in this church should have a holy experience like that, don't you think? And there ought to be such faith. And then as these ladies went to the disciples, suddenly Jesus appeared to them. So Jesus first sends an angel, but then he repeats the message just in case they were so wowed that they couldn't think of what was being said. But Jesus says, go and tell your disciples. So these ladies are now having another experience in God. You know, some of your friendships, I'm talking about faith friendships, friendships of faith come about because you have great experiences in God together. Just this coming September, we'll be taking 20 people from this church to Haiti on a missions trip. I've been in contact with Pastor Salah. We're going to do a conference with about 2,000 people attending, with preaching and praying and ministering to the Haitian people. And then we will also do something like an arts week there, because we'll work with the orphanage and with the children, Vacation Bible School, and Dina and Wendy and others will be teaching worship dance, and they're taking clothing, specially made clothing for the dancers. And then we're going to have a theatrical group that are going to be teaching the young boys and the girls who aren't dancing to participate. Then we're taking a construction team. So within this group of 20 people, there are so many different things that we will be doing over this 1 week period. But I want you to know that the folks who go on this missions trip will build a new kind of friendship with each other. It's because they will be serving. It's because they'll be working in the house of the Lord and in the purposes of God, and they will see some amazing things, some miracles, some dynamic move of the Holy Spirit. And so as a result of that, hearts will be knit together, sometimes for life. Most friendships don't last a whole life. They're seasonal. I wonder if you think back to good friends that you had sometime in the past. Depends how old you are. But then maybe at different seasons you had different friends. And I ask if you have friends today. And if you don't, I think you should change your life so that you do have some friends. But it will take work. And it will take you investing time and energy into other people to see that happen. So the first group is this group, which I call the women of faith. And the Lord gave them special encounters with angels, special encounter with himself, and they were given the first word to take back to the disciples. Notice how their hearts are going to be knit together in faith. We have a special couple who I've written their book, The Story of Ronnie and Clarice Holden, and the book is back there on the table. And they had a car accident, and he was in such a place of devastation. He was in a coma for 21 days and 14 doctors, and they said he cannot live. But she prayed, and her church prayed, and he lived. And it's a tremendous miracle that took place. But this couple, when we first met them, we discovered people who had such amazing faith. It didn't matter what problem was there, they didn't spend a long time talking about the problem. I'm really leery about folks who want to go into lots and lots and lots of details about the problem. I don't believe in most, I get myself in big trouble here, but I do not believe in most counseling programs. Because I think they focus far too much on the problem. And they think they have to get it fixed. But that's not true. Jesus is the fixer-upper. And he can do things if people will participate and walk down a certain road and get their focus in a right direction, get some curses broken, get some deliverance if needed, get some healing if needed, and then stand in the Word of God, and they can become strong in God with a very little bit of counseling. So be careful about those who want to set up counseling for you for the next year. The second group of people here are the guards. And we read about them in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 2. It says, there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes was white as snow. And the guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And then we read in verse 11, while the women were on their way, some of the guards, some had to stay by the site, obviously, not leave their post, but some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. So now you've got some soldiers, and they're friends because they're workmates. But they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, but I think they're going to. It's got to be really hard for you to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. An angel coming, an earthquake coming, and the angel rolling the stone away and sitting there in radiant clothes, and for that experience not to bring you to a place of salvation would be extraordinary. I imagine that they would have come to the Lord. But at this time, they only had a superficial level of friendship. And they didn't have friends with faith. Because when they go to the chief priests tell them to lie and pay them off so that they will not tell the truth. And they accept it. So there are some kind of friends who you could hang around with who can get you to compromise on truth and reality and on the purposes of God for your life. You don't need friends like that. You ought to choose. Now, you can have them as acquaintances because you ought to love all people. And you ought to care for people. And if your neighbor is nasty, you should still be somewhat friendly. Because you're the light of the world. That's what Jesus called you. But you cannot make those kind of people your main friends. Because it will drag you down. That which the spirit that is inside of them will get inside of you. And your heart and your focus will be drawn away from the person that you want to be. It can change your identity, can change your worldview. You can get robbed of your faith and your hope if you hang out with the wrong people. Some people are addicted to gossip. Some people are addicted to vulgarity. Some people are addicted to criminality. Some people are just godless people. And if that's what's coming into you constantly, it will drag you down. Because all of us leak. Do you know that? That's why you need to come to the Lord again and again and again to get filled up with His presence through worship and faith and the preaching of the Word of God. When you're going through a hard time, don't stop coming to church. When you're going through the worst time, it's not the time to say, well, you know, I'm not feeling up to it. I feel really bad, so I don't think I want to go to church today. That's the time when you need to come. And you need to hear me preach. And you need to worship the Lord. And you need to mingle with some friends of faith here who can encourage you and inspire you. It doesn't mean that your problem's going to be solved in an instant. But this soldier gang, if you were one of those soldiers, you would need to build some friendships beyond them. Your drinking buddies. You got to go beyond that. And you got to find some friends of faith. And then there's a third group of people we read about. In verse 12, it says, when the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, you are to say this his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this report gets to the governor that we've done this, we'll satisfy. In other words, we'll give him some money and keep you out of trouble. So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And it says that word is still in circulation today. And so these chief priests, these are the religious leaders and example in the nation. And they are crooked. It's not a good thing when politicians are crooked and telling half-truths or absolute lies. It's not a good thing for you to be connected with business organization or political organization, or in this case, religious organization, where the truth is not being upheld and integrity is compromised. Now, you might have to have them as an acquaintance because you might work there. But your deep, deep friends in life, you have to find friends with faith. Because these people are more likely to bring a curse on your head because of the sin that they're involved with. The Bible says cursed is the person who is corrupt in his business dealings. So you don't need to make those kind of people your best friends. You might make more money. You might get more money. You might get more advancement opportunities. But you need a kind of friend that is a faith friend. Somebody who looks in your eyes and says, I believe that God is bigger than that. And the blessings of God are coming. So the fourth group of people here who are friends are the 11 disciples. And it says in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them. So this is what's happening. The girl, the ladies, the Marys, the women of faith friends, they went to the disciples and said, he is risen, just as he said. He's not there in the grave anymore, and he appeared to us. We saw an angel and we saw Jesus. And Jesus told us that to tell you that you're to go to Galilee and meet on the mountain with him, and he'll give you instructions. It's very interesting why Jesus didn't just appear to them in Jerusalem at that time. He wanted to meet with them in Galilee. I'll tell you why in just a minute. But when they come, there's 11 now, 11 disciples. They go to the mountain and they see Jesus off in a distance. And immediately some of the disciples begin to worship him as they see him at a distance. But it says, but some doubted. Can you imagine that some of the 11 disciples doubted? Yes, you can. Thank you. Because some of you have doubts from time to time. Especially if you've gone through such an experience that these ladies and these disciples have just gone through, where they saw their Lord and King, their Jesus, being taken and being beaten and putting a crown of thorns and then being crucified, and the whole city up in arms and demons emboldened and angry, and the whole spirit of heaviness and darkness and weariness. Remember, just a couple of weeks ago, we had this couple from China who were here. And I've mentioned them a couple of times now, but it's worth mentioning again. They said in Beijing, if a missionary comes to Beijing and they're really not on fire for God, it will only be a matter of time before they become a victim. Because there's so much darkness and so much depression, they will get seduced. Or they will get into crooked business. Or they will just come into a place of atheism because they will not see the hand of God as they want to. And it will come upon them like witchcraft, like a demonic stronghold to pull strength away from their mind. And before long, they'll come into confusion. And then they'll come into doubt. And then they'll be disillusioned. And then they'll become depressed. And he says so many missionaries who go to Beijing end up that way. Because there's such a stronghold of demonic activity. And when Jesus was being crucified and his disciples, those friends who had walked together for 3 years and seen all of those miracles and been to the height of a human experience in walking with Jesus, the great teacher and miracle worker, the man of God, the Son of God. And yet now, during these last few days, they have been bombarded with the influence of witchcraft, demonic activity, heavy clouds of darkness, and seeing everything that they thought would ever work fall before their very eyes. So something had leached out of them. And when the disciples, they heard these women, they said, okay, let's go. And from a distance, they saw Jesus. And some of the disciples worshipped, but others doubted. Now, I wonder which group in the disciples you would be. Are you really subject to circumstances? If things go really good, you're really rejoicing. If things go really bad, you are really discouraged. Is that the way your life is? If you're a disciple, it shouldn't be that way. But you have to learn. You have to learn how to stand in strength and become an overcomer. So the overcomers on the disciple friendship team, I'm sure at that moment, said, come on, that's the Lord Jesus. Let's go worship him. And the others, Matthew writes it. He says, but some of them doubted. I don't really think that's him. I don't think he could come back from the dead. I don't think that really happened. Have you seen what took place? No, that's just somebody standing over there in a white robe. But then it says Jesus came to them. And then, of course, their faith lifted. Now, you might have some very intimate moments with Jesus, but then there might be a time when it seems like he's walked away. And you say, God, where are you? Where are you? Where are you? And at that time, you need some friends with faith. You need friends who say, this will pass. I remember an old illustration from a preacher years ago who said, every Christian has to go through this tunnel. It's called discipleship when you start. And you go through the tunnel, and Jesus is holding your hand. And the tunnel is dark and dark and dark, and it gets darker as you go deeper into the tunnel. And then Jesus lets go, and you can't find him. It's totally dark. And then you have to walk down this tunnel in the darkness all by yourself. And you keep walking and you keep walking. Some people give up about that point and they say, look, I'm going back to the beginning. I can't stand this. But others say, no, I'm going to persevere. If in that day you have a friend who has faith, it will serve you well. Because everybody has to face this. And after a little while, when you walk down that tunnel, you'll start to see a little light, and it'll get brighter and brighter and brighter. It's the end of the tunnel. And then when it gets bright enough, you'll see Jesus is standing right beside you. And you'll say, where did you go, Jesus? And he'll say, I was right beside you the whole time. And then you'll come out of that tunnel if you've gone through it. And there's a sign there, and it says, maturity. You've grown up. That's how you learn, that regardless of how dark the tunnel is or what you have to go through, the Lord has promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But in those times, you need a friend who has faith. Be careful who you choose to be close to and who you want to spend time with during the day of trouble. So then, these disciples come to the mountain, and it says, and Jesus came to them, and then he said to them, and he says a number of different things. He says, all authority is being given unto me in heaven and on earth. Now that he's raised from the dead, he's won the right to have authority over the whole earth. He's died for the sins of the world. Secondly, he says, go. He says, therefore, go. Thirdly, he says, make disciples of all nations. Fourthly, he says, baptizing them in the Father, in name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Fifth, he says, teach the word that I have taught you and instruct the people to obey them. And lastly, he says, and I will be with you even till the end of the age. Those six things Jesus says to these disciples. That's why he had to bring them to Galilee. Because Jerusalem is the place of the Jews. It's the place of the Chabad, of the Orthodox. It's the place where there's rules and regulations and the keeping of the law. And it's a stronghold of Judaism. But the Lord is already pointing his disciples to look outward. So he calls them to what is known as Gentiles, or Galilee of the nations, where the Gentiles come. Because 60 miles north of Jerusalem, where the Sea of Galilee is the crossroads of the world. It's where all the people of the Mediterranean have to travel to go into the Far East. It's where the Persians and all India has to come to go to Africa or to the Mediterranean. They all have to pass the Sea of Galilee. So the Sea of Galilee is not a stronghold of Judaism. It is a stronghold of the nations of the world. And all the passers-by and all the people are all different colors, just like this church. They're people from all over. And the Lord Jesus wants to teach them something there. And Jesus is always about, come on, get up and let's get on with the job. That's what Jesus is always about with you. Well, you're in your worst hour. Jesus will come and say, come on, let's go to work. Let's go save some souls. Let's go minister to some children in need. Let's go feed the hungry. Let's go minister to the wounded. You might say, well, I'm wounded. Lord will say, all the better. You can identify with them. Come on, it's not your power anyway. It's my power. So Jesus gathers his disciples. He wants to meet there because he's going to give them a job assignment. And he wants the right illustration, Galilee of the nations. And he says to them, go you into all the world. Preach the gospel. Make disciples of every nation, teaching them to obey all which I've commanded you. And I will be with you, even unto the ends of the world. Now this friendship of disciples is going to move to a new level. Just imagine now if you were one of these 12 disciples, one of these 11, Matthias was added to them and it went back to 12. But just imagine if you were one of them for the day of Pentecost, 50 days later. Just imagine if you were seeing extraordinary signs and wonders. And within about 8 years, 20,000 people get saved. Jerusalem has revival. It's an amazing experience. But their friendship season lasted for about 8 years. Not lifetime. And then, as the church grew to about 50,000, persecution came. And they were scattered abroad among the nations. And each of these apostles had a whole group of disciples and friends that were around them. And so, Mark, who was a disciple of Peter's, went down to Ethiopia. Bartholomew, also called Nathanael, went up to Armenia and Eastern Europe. John and Philip both went to Asia Minor, that's Greece and Turkey, to Corinth and Philippi. Thomas went to India with a group of disciples to preach the gospel. Peter went around the Mediterranean, ended up in Rome, and was crucified upside down. Andrew went also into Asia Minor, and he was crucified in an X position. And that's why you have the very bottom cross on the Union Jack, the British flag. It's white, and it's an X. It's St. Andrew's cross. Symbolic of how he was crucified. But each of them went in obedience to the Lord, but new friendships had emerged in that. Now I ask you, you don't know your future, but what kind of friends do you need in order for you to fulfill it. And I suggest to you with all my heart that you need to find many different kinds of friends. You need to find some friends that you can help. But you also need a kind of friend who can help you. They might be a peer-level person, but you need to be connected with somebody who can speak faith into your life and encourage you in the ways of the Lord and say, the Lord our God is faithful and He will not fail even in this situation. You need that in your life. And I ask you to plan your life a little better, to take note of the kinds of friends who are around you and to start investing especially in people of great faith. This is a church of ministers. I expect one day it will blow apart. I mean it in a good way. So that you'll all go to the distant corners of the planet like an revival explosion. And different groups of powerful, faith-filled people who will go to serve the Lord, to do His bidding. I'm not interested in building a big church so I can have a nicer stained glass window, but I'm really interested in my Father's kingdom and seeing the glory of the Lord cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And you have a special calling in your life for this, but you need some friends of faith. Everyone needs their own personal time. You don't need to be hanging around with somebody all the time. But there's purposeful friends. There's friends that you can share your heart with. Friends that you can dream big things with. Friends who have such faith that when you get together with them, you don't leave depressed or discouraged or kind of shaky, but you leave inspired. You leave rejoicing in the Lord. You leave so excited with the purposes of God for the future. Listen, you don't know how many days you've got left on this planet, but you need to make it count. And I'll tell you something, if you find friends who have faith, they will put something in you. Sometimes you cannot hear the word of the Lord by yourself. God so put it together like that. He said to the ladies, go and tell the disciples. What if they had said, no, we don't want to? The disciples would not have got that word from the Lord. And when they came, they had to believe what the ladies were saying. And the disciples had friendship. They had to believe each other. So this is not an easy task, relating and making friends like this. But it is so necessary for the purposes of God, because that's how God has designed it. So your days have been numbered by Him. And regardless of your present turmoil or circumstance, there are greater days ahead of you in the purposes and plans of God. If you will take faith today and you will say, Lord, help me now. Help me to have a whole different group of friends. Friends who I can strengthen because they need encouragement. And friends I can walk side by side with in good fellowship. And then some friends who are just absolutely sick, addicted to encouragement. You need some of those who have extraordinary faith. I can remember one of the people in our church way up in Canada who was in a rebellious state. And he came to me, he says, you know, I just can't stand your preaching. And I said, why is that? I thought it was all right. Not the best in the world, but I thought it was all right. And he said, well, you're always preaching way beyond, kind of extraordinary, unbelievable, bigger than life stuff. I said, thank you. Now find somebody who's bigger than life. Find somebody who's bigger than life. Find somebody who's out there, bigger than life, who has such faith, because God is bigger than life. And it's called the faith of the Lord Jesus. And start to have that person as your dear friend. Amen. Because the days are coming when the tomb of darkness over the United States of America will experience an earthquake. And the angels of the Lord will come down and roll the stones away. And they will stand in bright shining cloth and speak the words of heaven to you. And if you're a person of faith and you hang out in a faith gang, the angels of the Lord will come to you. Because in these last days, there will be a heightened move of miraculous, supernatural involvement from heaven on the earth. So don't keep going down. It's time for you to go up. I'm a very poor golfer. And I only golf about once a year. But I learned a long time ago, if you want to golf better, golf with somebody who's much, much better than you. Because as they shoot this perfect ball into the air, you will rise up and follow them. It's like that with friends of faith. It's infectious. And I hope you get the disease so that you become powerful, so that you become powerful teams. You can't be personal, close friends with everybody in this place, but you can become a team with a few here and maybe a team over there and connect with powerful people of faith. Now, I want to open the door for you today for new beginnings in your friendships, for God to bring new people into your life and for you to seek them out. People who, when you pray together, sparks fly. And the purposes of God are released. Would you just stand right now? And I'd like us to dedicate our lives to the Lord and this whole matter of friendships. Hold your hands out in front of you and please repeat this dedication prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for saving me. Lord, I know my future is important. And I dedicate it to you. Put me in contact with the right people. People of faith. People who know how to go forward as overcomers. People who I may encourage. And who will encourage me. I receive your provision for the joining of the Lord and the release of your glory. Let a new day come for the joining of God's people and for the strength in the house of God. We receive it this day. We receive your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I release the blessing of the Lord over you. I speak God's anointing on your life for the opening of your mind, for the clearing away of any kind of attack of witchcraft or darkness or evil designs or conspiracies against you. I break its power and I open the heavens over you for the blessing of the Lord upon you and upon your family, upon your children and your grandchildren. I speak blessings when you go in and when you come out. Blessings in your relationships. And blessings in all that you put your hand to. So that you might prosper and see the kingdom of God go forward. And I come against any kind of roadblock that is in your way. I stand with you, man of God. I stand with you, woman of God. And I break down the roadblock that has hindered your progress. And I say yes and amen to the release of the purpose and plans of God for you so that you might be powerful and you might be loving, and you might be insightful, and you might be a missionary. I speak that blessing, whether far or near. Let it come now. I speak it over you in Jesus' name. Amen.